Thanks for listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Concerns over the coronavirus pandemic forced the closure of both public and school libraries across Illinois last month. For many, closed libraries mean more than just a loss of reading material for local communities. It can also mean a loss of shelter, safety, or even just productivity. But closed doors do not mean that libraries have stopped serving their patrons. We're joined on the line now by Jeannie Hamilton. She's the library director for the Bloomington Public Library. Jeannie, welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
As ever, we invite you to join the conversation. What does your local library mean to you? How have they adapted during these closures? Give us a call, 800-222-9455. That number is 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. Jeannie, what sort of services besides just books does the library provide for people?
Well, right now, we are really focusing on our online resources. We do still have books, the ebooks and e-audiobooks, even e-comics and graphic novels, and e-magazines that a lot of people are excited about those. And then a lot of online digital resources as well. Things that maybe you can learn about some new topics while we're not in the building.
Yeah. Well, but in the before times, though, as some people are taking to calling it, it's a lot more than even just materials, whether digital or text. I mean, there are computers and childcare in a sense, right? I mean, libraries have become so much more than books and movies and things.
Absolutely. So yeah, one of the things that we are definitely missing a lot right now is our programs. We offer many, many programs each year. And so we are adapting a little bit. We are trying to offer some of those programs virtually, providing those through both Facebook and YouTube. And I know some of our librarians have some story times out there. Some other libraries have also, I saw a virtual escape room even, so you can work your way out of a room online.
Yeah. I guess what I'm wondering, though, is I think that libraries have become community centers in a way, right? I mean, for some people,
absolutely,
it's a place to use. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We see typically 1,000 people a day come through our doors. So that's something that's really a big change for us, not being able to see those friendly faces. And that's something that I know staff has had a challenge adapting to, that we're not seeing the people and offering. Sometimes we're the only people see in a day. So maybe someone isn't able to get out of their house much, but they are able to come to the library and see a friendly face. So absolutely, that's something that isn't able to easily be replaced online.
And I mean, that's thinking of those vulnerable communities, I think, that use the library a lot or rely on the library, the elderly, kids, even the homeless. I wonder if that was a consideration in terms of having to close, you know, this idea that libraries help keep people safe. And what sort of changes you and your staff might have had to make before the stay-at-home order was in effect?
Sure. One thing, I mean, it is a blessing that it's not freezing cold temperatures, because that is something that we do offer heat to people sometimes. And so we are having at least some nice weather. So I am happy that if it could be any time of year, this is a decent time of year for that purpose. But before we closed, we did do we reduced our services and offered curbside pickup. And so we allowed people to place holds and they could drive up and pick up items. And through our conversations with that, originally we were only going to allow drive ups because we thought maybe that was a little bit safer with a barrier. But we really had staff advocating for a spot where we could safely let people walk up as well, because we do have a lot of walkers and people who use public transportation to get to the library. So we were able to adapt and still safely offer that service to people who could walk up. Then once the stay-at-home order came into place, we felt like we had to stop that curbside service. But we did, we still offer Wi-Fi in our parking lot 24 hours a day. Typically, that would be something that we only offer during operating hours, but we've expanded that for those people who maybe don't have internet at home.
So they can drive up, park, or I guess sit on the lawn or park in the parking lot and access the internet that way if they need to.
Yes, absolutely.
So when you heard about the closing, you know, down orders, the stay-at-home orders, what were you hearing from patrons at that time?
You know, at that point we had, so that order came on a Friday afternoon for the next Saturday, and we had our last day that we were open was that Monday, so 4 days earlier. And we had been doing curbside service for that week. And we just were hearing a lot of people that were grateful that we were able to do that for them. It was, you know, many people saw kind of the writing on the wall that places were starting to reduce services and potentially shut down. And so they appreciated that, that they could get that last bit in before they knew that they might be home for a while.
Yeah. We're speaking with Jeannie Hamilton. She's the library director for the Bloomington Public Library about what libraries are doing in this time of pandemic. So Jeannie, you talked a little bit about this earlier, but you know, now that libraries are closed and trying to adapt and figure out different ways to serve their communities, what does that look like in Bloomington?
So we are, we have a lot of online resources that we are happy to provide. And I think across the state, even smaller libraries that maybe don't have quite as many resources at the tips of their fingers, even they are having able to provide ebooks and e-magazines. But some of the things that I've been really excited to see is vendors have really been working with us as well. For example, Ancestry, they usually restrict access to just in the library, and that's a genealogy tool, and they've opened that up so people can access that at home through our website now. So maybe people have a little bit extra time on their hands so they can do a little genealogy project and see what their ancestors were doing. Maybe even their ancestors were impacted by different pandemics in the past, like the 1918 flu. So you could kind of see what your family has been through in the past.
Yeah. I wonder if it's, I mean, you, if there's even sort of a small positive in all this, and that it's kind of forced libraries to figure out some digital alternatives. You know, on March 24th, the Internet Archive, which is, I guess, not necessarily a library in the way we traditionally think of it, but it announced it was creating a national emergency library by suspending waitlists for the 1.4 million books in its digital lending library. And the organization says that suspension will remain in place until June 30th or the end of the U.S. national emergency, whichever's later. I wonder, you mentioned the genealogy tool. Is there more of a push to move digital now?
I think, you know, we've been in the digital world for a long time. The Bloomington Library has had ebooks available since 2006. So I think we've really been kind of doing a balancing act where we've offered a lot of digital, but a lot of in-person too. So we were in a good position going into this. We didn't have to scramble to do a lot, but we did speed up some of the things that we had already planned launching. So for example, in Bloomington, we were going to launch automatic renewals for eligible items. So if no one's waiting on an item, it would just automatically renew. So sometimes people forget to go in and renew an item or call us and renew an item, and this will greatly reduce fines due to those just forgotten moments. And so we were going to launch that with National Library Week, which is coming up next week, but we launched that a month early because of this. So that was exciting to be able to do. Another thing that we had kind of waiting in the wings were some mobile hotspots that we were going to check out to people. And we were able to launch those during our curbside pickup. So we were able to get 14 of those out into the hands of the community. And one person in particular that picked theirs up was so appreciative because she said she could now do her job from home. So stories like that were the, there are some silver linings that we were pushed to maybe move quicker on some things that we had had waiting in the wings.
You know, you mentioned automatic renewals, and there has been a lot of talk in the past about how eliminating library fines can be help address some social inequities. Does that, is that part of the decision making that went into that?
Yeah, absolutely. So at last April, a year ago, we switched over to a new checkout system. And at that time, we wiped any fines that were existing at that moment. We did go ahead and re-implement the fine policies after that, but we have been making, you know, kind of small steps, trying the testing the water, so to speak, with those types of moves. And so this automatic renewals was our next move in that direction, to just try to really make things more equitable and help people. We all have busy lives, and so trying to meet people where they're at.
And I wonder, the coronavirus pandemic is obviously posing a lot of financial challenges to our country, our state, our economy. Once this is over and we get back to our new normal, are you worried that an economic recession could mean patronage surges, but there are fewer resources available to the library? Do you have concerns about the next few months or the next few years?
You know, we unfortunately have been through a recession not too long ago, and so we have weathered this before. We do certainly see a big boost in library usage during times of tough economies, and that piece is exciting, to be able to help people in need and help provide entertainment, especially entertainment that we think is very helpful in building life skills too. And we are primarily property tax based, so that does create somewhat of a stable funding for us. But yes, if property values decrease, then we'll see a decrease in funds. We have a staff that's very good about being frugal. And so we'll certainly look at spending. And as our funds get tighter, we just try to be more and more creative about what we can do. Sometimes that means maybe we'll do in more in-house programming instead of bringing programs from outsiders in, or we might have to try to reduce anywhere that we can find ways without, we always try to be strategic and not impact services as little as possible while still making things work.
And the last thing I want to ask you about in a little less than a minute remaining, but is there anything you want the public to know about what you're having to navigate right now?
We're so grateful for the comments that we're getting from people that are just so encouraging. They appreciate all that we're doing. It really was hard for libraries across the country to make this decision to close because by nature, we really want to help people. But we have to balance that with doing our part to keep people safe during this public health crisis. So we appreciate all the support and positive comments that we've gotten. And we really enjoy serving you in this new way too.
Jeannie Hamilton is the library director for the Bloomington Public Library. She joined us by Zoom chat, as so many people are doing nowadays. Jeannie, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Coming up on tomorrow's 21st, a conversation with Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza about being the person responsible for paying the state's bills in a time of crisis and the Wild West atmosphere in procuring things like masks for healthcare workers. That is all the time we have for today's 21st. You can stay up to date with us on Twitter. Just search for 21st Show. That's 21st Show. We tweet out links with more analysis and background about what we've been talking about. You can also subscribe to our podcasts pretty much anywhere you can get a podcast. Apple, Spotify, NPR One. Just search for The 21st. Our program is produced by Libby Foster and Anna Casey. Eunice Alpison is our intern. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Special thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. I'm Brian Mackey. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening.